Now, a couple of weeks ago, our listener Michelle tipped me off about a woman who was busy cycling the length of Africa as part of an event called the Tour d'Afrique. And she'd taken on the mammoth adventure not only as a personal challenge, but also as a fundraiser for volunteer wildfire services. And of course, little did we know at the time we scheduled this interview that our firefighters would once again be called out to fight the kind of devastating blazes we have seen in the past week. So it makes it all that sweeter to say welcome to the studios, Liz Morris, and thanks so much for joining us. Welcome back to Cape Town.
Well, a wonderful privilege to be here. Thank you, Papa.
Liz, I believe you're a nurse by profession. It's a job that requires long hours on your feet, a heavy workload. Surely that's challenge enough. Why take on this particular adventure of 12,000 kilometers?
Well, I always had have a passion for cycling, and I was surfing the net and I found this particular expedition and I thought, wow, this would be fantastic to do. But it's one of those dreams that never takes fruition until I did a course, a business course to try and improve my business skills. And in the process, I actually improved my own personal boundary setting and goal setting, should I say, and my boundaries expanded so hugely that in fact I took this dream that I had and made it a reality. I executed it.
And you executed it 12,000 kilometers over 4 months, arriving back in Cape Town a couple of weeks ago on the 13th of May. Why the decision to fundraise particularly for the volunteer wildfire services?
Well, I spent a lot of time on the mountain, so does my family. And I think it was the 2015 August that turned into a 43K instead of 109K that brought it really home to me that these chaps are like doing stuff for us that, I mean, can never be asked of anybody. You have to give freely of your time and, in fact, risk your own life to save homes and our mountain and lives. And I'm so grateful to them that I felt like I needed to give back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're so grateful that you chose them. I mean, of course, you can't ask for a better example of the part than we have in the past week of why their work is to be valued and praised for what they've done. Now, the trip itself, as I mentioned, 12,000 kilometers over 4 months, starting in Cairo. Talk to us about the route you followed and perhaps some of your favorite places that you visited.
Oh, wow. There was a lot. Okay, let's start in Egypt. I was lucky enough then to still be quite fresh, so I was able to do a bit of sightseeing on our rest days. So I went to many of the pyramids and the temples. I went to the Valley of the Kings. Wow, that was amazing. And I think, and then also riding through the desert and then coming down. Well, okay, we went over the Nasser, Lake Nasser into Sudan, a place which not many people go. It's not a tourist destination. Obviously, I mustn't forget to mention the people. The people are amazing. And people say, you can't go to Sudan. Something terrible is going to happen to you. But they're the most friendly, generous people you can imagine and very, very safe. Mm. Down through the Sudan, very, very hot. We were reaching temperatures of about 50 to 55 degrees. Just tremendously hot. And the off-road riding in one part down towards the south was pretty awful. Coming down to the Sudanese border of Ethiopia, they had to stop us there. We weren't allowed to go through Ethiopia. The expedition leaders decided it was too dangerous because Ethiopia was going through a lot of turmoil at the time. Mm-hmm. And so they bust us back through to Khartoum, the capital of Sudan, and we got onto a flight, flew over Ethiopia, and then arriving in Nairobi, we instead of going down into Tanzania, we then went west into Uganda, right around the natural lake of Queen Victoria, through Uganda, down into Rwanda, even further down, and then across into the Serengeti. We did a safari into Serengeti. It wasn't a cycle trip there. Mm-hmm. We saw the Ngorongoro crater, that sort of thing. Oh, it was amazing. And then across to Arusha, which is the capital. Oh, no, it's not actually the capital, but it's in Tanzania, a big city. Mm. And then we went down through Tanzania. I think we spent about 2.5 weeks. It was the longest period of time in any country. Tanzania I always thought was flat, but my cycle weary legs will tell you it was mountainous. And incredible people as well. The colors, the greenness of Central Africa is something that really astounded me. From Tanzania, we went down into Malawi. We skirted Malawi, Lake Malawi. We came out just past Lilongwe into Zambia. From Zambia, we went down south to Victoria Falls. And then we went west again into Botswana, along the Elephant Highway, across the border into Namibia to Windhoek. And then we went down south again through past Sossus Vlei, you know, Dune 5, that sort of thing. and then further down through the border into South Africa, and then the Northern Cape, down we went through can't even think of the names of some of the places, the Cedarburg, and which was tremendously mountainous as well. Actually, it was one of the hardest days was down in the Cedarburg. And then we popped out at Lagoon Beach Hotel here in our very own Cape Town.
Well, I mean, what an experience, seeing parts of the continent that many South Africans have never seen, seeing parts of the continent that, as you say, tourists don't generally visit as a normal stop. You've described the people, you've described the colors that you viewed. Did you ever feel at any point in the route unsafe? Did you have criminal encounters, animal encounters that made you feel a little nervous?
Well, I remember my fear of criminal activity. Coming from South Africa is one of the biggest things that are highest on our list, I think, of priorities to keep ourselves safe. So when I started out, because we camped the whole way down, when I started out, I would park my tent right next to the biggest truck, and then I would be surrounded by the rest of the tents. And I felt that it was a kind of a lager in a way. It didn't take me very long to realize actually we were quite safe. Especially so in Egypt and Sudan, because we had armed police escorts. The tourism police insisted on being with us because they were very worried about some kind of ISIS attacks on an international group. But we were very safe because the people are ruled by Sharia law. So we didn't feel unsafe at all. Coming down into Kenya, of course there was petty crime and that sort of thing, but still, the people, there was no violence, bodily violence at all. So, you know, people would lose the odd thing like a garment off their bike and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But overall, it was fine. The place that I felt most unsafe was when I entered the borders into our very own country. And then I realized the reality of what we live with every day.
It's sad to hear, but that is reality. Now, sitting next to you very patiently is your husband, Tim. Tim, what was it like for you? Seeing Liz off, you went with her to Cairo to see her on the road. And going, there you go, 12,000 kilometers, 4 months. I don't know what lies ahead. You must have had worries of your own about what she was going to be facing.
Yeah, I certainly did, Pippa. As long as she was in contact, because funnily enough, there's some pretty good contact throughout Africa with cell phones and WhatsApp. So we often had WhatsApp conversations, voice conversations. It was like she was in Cape Town. Mm. So it was amazing. Occasionally, I think parts of South Sudan and parts of Tanzania, there was not very much service, so I wouldn't hear for 3 or 4 days. So I got a bit uptight about it, but I knew if something serious happened, I'd hear. And also, one of her friends on the trip had a satellite phone,
okay,
so we could contact. In fact, she phoned me on my birthday from I think Sudan somewhere, and I phoned back, and it cost me about 2,000 rand for the phone call. Your satellite phones are not cheap. but leading up to the trip, she'd gone away a lot on day trips to up early to go and cycle to train. She had to do thousands of kilometers training, so I didn't see a lot of her. So I was kind of used to not seeing her that much, but the worry was when she's far away.
Absolutely. Now, I know you mentioned while we were chatting earlier that you took your boys up to Vic Falls to meet her there and touch base. Talk to us about the impact on them of seeing their mom undertake this challenge. It must have been a huge life lesson to them, not only in terms of the fundraising that she was doing, but in terms of the personal achievement.
Yeah, I think it was very exciting, because that was at the 3-month mark, and they hadn't obviously seen her. Well, I hadn't seen her for 3 months, apart from the early Egypt trip. And that was great. We took a couple of weeks to get up there and went through some of the game reserves, and we had 4 days together up at Vic Falls, and it was very special. Vic Falls was the Zambia was flowing very strongly,
okay,
and we had a lot of fun. So as a family, you know, it was just a wonderful thing to have that time together, which, funnily enough, in Cape Town, we don't spend that intense time together because there's so many other distractions. So it was really great.
You must feel very proud of her for finishing it, though.
It's huge. Unbelievable.
Because you didn't just finish. You finished with the coveted EFI status. And to be diplomatic, we'll call it every fabulous inch, shall we? Tell us what EFI status means, Liz.
Well, basically, I traveled or I cycled every fabulous inch of the way. We had three support vehicles with us. And the possibility of jumping onto a truck when you were just slightly tired or things were going really hard for you was always uppermost in your mind. But I had gone there for the challenge. I hadn't gone there for a holiday, and so I persevered, and I never once got on the truck. I mean, I can hardly believe I didn't, because up until I think it was the third last day, which was the hardest day, I didn't know whether I was going to make it. And once I'd finished that day, my pride in myself was incredible.
You must have felt like you were freewheeling into Cape Town.
Quite.
Liz, you said to me there were 26 of you in total who did the full tour. Others came and went and did certain sections. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
So we had... Sure, we had people from all over the world, but our very own homegrown Prince Albert couple, Papa Smurf and Judith. yeah, that's right. We call him Papa Smurf. His real name is Michael, but he looks like a Smurf. And they were on us on the trip with us. They became really good friends. We met them once beforehand. They were the only people I'd met before the trip, so they were kind of my anchor.
Right.
Gosh, I don't think
you must have. I mean, you must have developed a huge camaraderie with people spending that much time together over such an extended period of time.
It's an accelerated friendship that we actually formed with people from all over the world, and I do believe it's currently happening. But we will remain in touch for years to come. We have our own closed Facebook group, and we've got all kinds of in-house jokes. You know, like a family does. You have your own homegrown jokes that nobody else will ever understand. We are the TDA 2017. We're pretty unique.
Okay. Now, this event obviously open. Is it open to anybody who chooses to ride it, who can pay the fee and join the group, or are there any prerequisites in terms of how much riding you've done previously?
No, they didn't stop us. The only thing that they made sure was our bicycles could do the ride. Things like dual suspension were not acceptable, because the one bike mechanic that was there to support us wouldn't be able to have the parts or possibly even the expertise to be able to fix
that
all these high-end bikes. Yeah. So, I mean, my own particular bike was a steel home-built, if you don't mind, built by a frame builder here in Cape Town, David Mercer, bike, and it was fabulous. It was probably one of the best bikes on the trip. From that point of view, I was very proud that us South Africans can come up with the goods. We really can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's wonderful to know that this opportunity is there for those who have the sense of adventure and want to take on the challenge but might not know logistically how to go about doing it. So if you are interested in what you've just heard, go and Google Tour d'Afrique. Liz, just in closing, how do you feel? I mean, what have you learned from this journey? How do you feel about yourself? How has your life changed by the last 4 months?
Well, it's just reiterated something that I know, and I think we all know, is that if you set your mind to something and you actually persevere with it, you can do it. You know, it's that whole old story of an elephant. If you've got an elephant and you need to eat it, you don't think about eating like the tail. You start in one bite at a time, and eventually you'll get to the tail and you'll finish it. So you've got to persevere. You've got to have that vision and hold on to it with both hands and never let it go.
Yeah. She's eaten the elephant. She has a life experience that very few people are lucky enough to be able to claim. Liz, congratulations, firstly, on finishing it at all. Secondly, on finishing as only one of four people to get that coveted every flipping inch status, we'll call it. And good luck to you from here. I'm going to share the link to your crowdfunding page, because you are still open if people would like to donate to the Volunteer Wildfire Services.
Please do, yes.
Yeah. We'll happily do that. We'll share it on our Facebook and Twitter links at Cape Talk if you're looking for the Give and Gain page. Liz Morris, congratulations. Thanks for joining us. Tim, great to have you with us too. And I hope that inspires a few other people to get out of the chair, onto the bike, and taking on something extraordinary.
Yes, I hope so too. And I must just mention something. Shovels, you will need a shovel. Because toilets aren't always available.
Thanks for leaving us with that thought, Liz. Great to meet you. That's what the time to half past.